His actions, but then the question is why? Why make a joyful noise unto the Lord? Why should we come before his presence with singing? And I think the answer to that is in this psalm. The foundation or the motivation for these actions is at the end of verse 3. Well, actually in verse 4, is to be thankful unto him. You know, if the psalm just said, serve the Lord, or if it just said, come into the church or come into the temple or bow down before him, you know, the motivation would just probably be just pure submission. But it doesn't say it like that. It says, serve him with gladness. It says, come to him being joyful. It says, praise him, bless his name. So, you know, these things require, they have to have thankfulness in them or they're not going to exist. You know, just flat service could, but joyfulness, gladness, praise, those have to come from a heart of thankfulness. So, I guess our question is, what are we supposed to be thankful for? As I looked at this psalm, kind of broke down the facts on the other side, I think if you narrow it down, it's at the end of verse 3, and it says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So, why do I say that one? Why wouldn't it, you know, it sound a little more exciting to say God is good, that's the foundation, or God is merciful? Well, to try and explain that, I'd like to just, if you'd imagine with me for a minute, just think about, I'm going to just tell you this, there's this amazing place on earth, and it's a place that's always perfect temperature, whatever you like, if you like it cold, if you like it warm, it's always a perfect temperature. It's a place that you're there with people you love, friends, family, and there's other people there, but these people are understanding, they're kind, they're interesting, they're exciting. It's a beautiful place. It's always food. The food's always amazing. It's a place where you just, overall, you just feel good. You feel healthy, you know, no headaches, backaches, stomach aches. And also when you're in this place, you have things to do that give you fulfillment. You're not just sitting around. It's exciting. You feel like your life has purpose and meaning. Your life is full of just meaning, life, and laughter. So as I'm telling you this, hopefully you're kind of picturing your own little paradise there as I share these things. But now, crush your dreams here a little bit. What if all of a sudden I just told you, you can never go to this place? Ever. You know, it does exist. It's there, but you can't go. You're too poor. You can't afford it. Even the wealthiest person here, you just can't. Can't afford it. It's way out of your range. Or it's because you're born into the wrong family. It's just tough luck. You just, the way it is. Or you just, you've sinned one too many times. It's just you cross the line, and that's it. You can't go. It's there. You can't go there. Or there's just no humanly way possible for you to get there. It's there. It's just, you just can't get there. There's no way. It's impossible. Wouldn't that all of a sudden just crush all your hope and cause you just to be discouraged? There's this wonderful place. There's this wonderful thing, and you can't get there. You can't partake of it. So, you know, as we look at God here in this psalm, if we would just look at his attributes, and then now I'm going to include, it's not in the psalm, but I'm going to include also talk about heaven and how amazing it is. And just look at all those attributes and think about how wonderful he is and how wonderful heaven would be. But then say, you can't know him. He doesn't care about you. There's no connection there. He's wonderful, but you don't mean anything to him. Wouldn't that just crush your hopes, crush all your motivation in life? You know, but thankfully in this psalm, it doesn't say that. It says, as it's giving the attributes of God, that he's good, that he's merciful, right in there it says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So that's why I say it's the foundation, is that's what connects us to him. without that in there, we're just looking at him as, wow, he's amazing, he's powerful, but what good does that do me? I'm not connected to it. It's outside of me. But that's not how it is. It says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Directly connects us. It puts us in a real living relationship with him. And this, right, that right there should cause us to be thankful. It's deep within us when you recognize this. And it causes thankfulness. And going along with this, in Ephesians 2:10, it says, talking about our position, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. It goes on, but that's the point I wanted to make, is we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And this position that you can be in is for those who have saving faith in Jesus. It's not just a random thing. It's for those that have saving faith in Jesus. So now as we go back and look at Psalm 100, look at the attributes of God, and then in addition to that, think about heaven. You know, it's rather than looking at it as something that doesn't really affect us directly, we can see them, his attributes, as an active part of our life. It's just part of who we are. We're connected to him. It's not like you're looking in a window at somebody else's house and you can't get in there. You're in there. You're in this relationship with him. And those feelings, or that truth, can cause feelings of belonging, of security, of joy, of hope, and also of love. So I'd like to look at Psalm 100 again. I'm not going to read it but I'm going to just look at it a little differently now that I've said what I've said. So we go back to it, and it says, he is God. Well, who is God? Well, now we can say, my God. The God, the only true God, we heard about in Sunday school last week, the only true God, the God of the universe, is my God, and he knows me, and he cares for me, and I know him, and I'm learning more and more about him, and it's a growing thing. So he's not just a God, he's my God, he's your God. He made us. Well, who made us? Our Creator, the one who made everything. He made us, and he made us with a purpose, and he cares about us. There's meaning to your life. You have purpose. He specifically made you the way that you are. He is good. You know, we can say that like so kind of lightheartedly, but God is good. And if you think about how wonderful that is, you know, think if he wasn't good. He's almighty, he's creator, and he's kind of good. You know, I think that's how Muslims view him. Every once in a while, he might just do something bad. Capricious, he might just, I don't know, unpredictable. But no, the God, our God, is good. He's the very essence of goodness, and that's a very wonderful thing. His mercy is everlasting. Out of his goodness, he shows us mercy. In Psalm 103:10, it says, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. So he's good, but he has to be merciful to us because we can't be in his presence because he's so good. But then here's this other attribute of his. He's merciful. He's forgiving. And so, and he's forgiving to us individually and as a group. He's merciful. And then his truth endures forever. He will never change. You know, even the most stable people that you know are, there's always still a little bit of a unpredictability there. There's definitely people you can rely on, you can trust in, but even on down to things like Alzheimer's or something, there's just unpredictable. But God never changes. He's always the same. He's a solid rock. His truthfulness and his goodness will always be the same throughout all generations, and that's something that you can just count on. And of course, on top of that, he cares for us. It's not just that he's up here on this in this plane, which he is, that we can't reach, but he reaches down to us and we can actually have this relationship with him. So as we look at it like this, our response to this, this belonging to him, this being connected to him in a loving relationship, and then also in addition to that, this hope that we have of a future because he is good, we know that his future for us ultimately is going to be good. It just, it has to be. If he's good, his future coming, it will be good. We can't always see it. We can't always feel that, but it is. It's just a fact. So that should cause us to be thankful, which should then result in some of these actions of praise rooted in thankfulness. One thing I was going to say at the beginning is that this is a psalm of praise, and just, you know, like with what Brian shared earlier, there's a time to mourn also. There's a time to lament. So I don't want to make it sound like we're always, it's always just this high, joyful, wonderful, everything's great, because it's just not accurate. But we are commanded to praise, and it's part of, it should come out of us at times. Just like there's a time to mourn, there is a time to praise. And overall, our life should be a life of thankfulness. And I think that often we associate thankfulness with always being happy and joyful. Well, you can actually be thankful, I believe, without these feelings of elation. It's just you recognize, you're, man, I'm thankful for that. But you're not just elated, but you still can be thankful. So one other little side note here, talking about making a joyful noise. I don't know how you'd make a joyful noise. But this is for people that are quiet, so people that are a little bit louder might not understand this, but I can relate with this a little bit. Is you hear that, a joyful noise, and I think you just imagine loud and just exciting or something. Well, there's people that are just kind of quiet, and you want to make a joyful noise. You want to be a little bit louder. You want to sing out, but you simply can't. I'm not suggesting that people should not try, or that if you're holding back because of embarrassment, that you should do that. You should overcome that. But there are actually people that are just simply quiet. And, you know, you can get all excited and say, I'm going to make a joyful noise here, or be loud, and you let out this pathetic little yee-haw, and it still doesn't sound good. But that doesn't matter. I think God, it's not the volume, it's the heart. A joyful heart that's making noise, whether it's quiet or loud, it's a praise to God. And I thought about, you know, there's people that have that read poems that have these very nice voices. They're loud and strong and rich. They're the one reading the poem. But often I think, well, it's a fact that a lot of people that write poetry and stuff are quiet people. You know, they're the one off in the study writing this poetry. And I would say that their hearts are just joyful and resonating with this joyful noise that isn't even actually heard. So the point is not how it sounds necessarily to other people, but it's coming from a heart of thankfulness and a heart of joy unto God. And people that are loud, it's nice. I like hearing a nice, strong voice say things. So there's a place for that too. It's just not the key. And then one other little interesting side note, I forgot to check out why this is, I couldn't quite remember, but in outer space, if you scream as loud as you want, you can't hear anything. So that's kind of an interesting thing about how does God view a joyful noise. You know, it could be as loud as you want in outer space, and it's not just because there aren't other people there to hear it, it actually doesn't make sound. So anyways, just an interesting thought about making a joyful noise and showing that it really comes back to a heart condition. So then when it comes to thankfulness, is belonging to God the only thing that we should be thankful for? So do we have to just not be thankful for anything else, food or friends or whatever? It's just that's all we can focus on. That's it. Well, I'd like to say yes and no, and I'd like to explain myself here. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says, this I'm starting about halfway into this verse. Paul says, "For I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." So here Paul says that through belonging to Christ, through Jesus, he can be content, I'd say thankful, in any situation that he's in. And if a question is, how in the world can that be? And I believe that it's because Paul's very foundation of his soul is he believes in the goodness of God, and he believes that by God's grace he belongs to God. If you get right down to the very bottom of it, he believes in the goodness of God, and that he believes that he belongs to God. And that's his foundation, and that's why in any situation he's in, he can be thankful. And so, does this mean that Paul or we should just not care about anything else? What Paul says here and what I believe we're supposed to strive for is totally the opposite of what, say, like a Buddhist monk is trying to do. They're trying to actually be content with nothing, like absolutely nothing. They just narrow it down as much as they can, and their goal is to become nothing. And to become nothing, you have to be totally disconnected from everything, and then you get the great joy of becoming nothing, which is a crazy religion, and it's a sad religion. But this thing that Paul is saying, being content with in God, I think is really total opposite in a sense, if I can make any sense of that. The position Paul's coming from is, if you don't understand it, it almost can appear like an arrogant position. Because basically Paul's saying, nothing here on earth is good enough for me. Ultimately, nothing here on earth is enough to completely satisfy me in and of itself, except for God. Because he understands everything on this earth is temporary, it's tainted, it's fading, and it's flawed. So you understand this, and then you recognize that no, none of those things can satisfy me. It's a rejection of them, not just out of just total selfishness, it's just a recognition of the eternal value of everything. So in this sense, I would say ultimately that yes, when you boil everything down and reduce it to its very foundation, the only thing we ultimately should be truly thankful for is God's goodness and that we belong to him. And that can sound like I'm saying you shouldn't care about people or anything. But the whole foundation of all that is rooted in God's goodness, because without God's goodness, all those things wouldn't have meaning. So do we spend our lives in poverty, scorning any physical thing on earth? No, this isn't how I see it. And this is kind of the way I'd like to explain this, and it's kind of an elementary type explanation, but it's kind of what I thought of. So imagine two people are stacking blocks, like little kids' blocks. You know, you're stacking these little building blocks. And as you're stacking these, you're just simply, they're blocks of thankfulness. You're just stacking these things, and you're like, you know what, I'm thankful for my family, and I'm thankful for my house, and this guy's over here, same thing. I'm thankful for my family, my house, and thankful for my car, thankful for my car, thankful for whatever it is. You just keep stacking these blocks, just kind of thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. But then, as these two stacks are stacking, all of a sudden, this one over here, someone just comes along and just knocks it all down. Just gets spread everywhere. Just a mess. And this person's frustrated and confused. But then, this person starts building this stack again. This person still, they really are thankful. They're just stacking on here. This person starts with this new block right here that says, God is good, and I belong to God. And then he starts this next stack on here. And he says, you know what? I'm thankful for this salvation that I have. And then another block, I'm thankful for my family. And then another block, I'm thankful for the house that I have. This person over here is still stacking everything up. And but this it's a whole new view of this thing. And you're getting all this stuff stacked up, on down to the smallest things, but you're always referring back to this foundation. You're always thinking, I'm thankful to God for my family. I'm so thankful to God for this house that we have to live in. I'm so thankful for the food that I have. Praise God for that. I'm thanking him. I'm thankful for that. Meantime, this person is just stacking stuff up, and then this kind of I think, connects with what Brian was saying there. And where is he going? I think sometimes we think that really deep down that, say, atheists or unbelievers aren't really thankful. I think they really are thankful, but they're just thankful for what they have. They do care about people, but it's just all they can do is be thankful for that person or that thing with no connection to where it came from. Where are they heading? Their quality of life, as there's, you know, maybe they're getting wealthier and wealthier and going on more and more exotic trips and different things, but ultimately, where are they heading? And who can they thank, ultimately? Their quality of life is going down as this goes up. Their ability to enjoy things is just, but because of age and everything, is simply deteriorating. And often the amount that's required to make it joyful enough that you're thankful is higher and higher. But over here, you've got this foundation, and you're stacking on here, more and more thankful, more and more thankful. And I can't remember exactly how that poem said, something Brian read about Jesus being a sure tower. You know, this is being built up for eternity. And it's all praising God for this foundation that we belong to Him. And so we of all people should be the most thankful people for everything, on down to just the basics. You know, air. This would probably seem kind of silly for people if you were just thankful for being able to breathe the air one day. But you, if you connect that to God, you should be, and you can be. I feel sorry for atheists in that sense that, you know, just imagine if, okay, we got these two people, let's say this person's an atheist, obviously this person's a believer, and they're put in a situation where they're both going to die, and they're just right on the edge of death, and then somehow they miraculously get saved from that death. Well, this person can just right away just praise God. So thankful. Even if it was humans or something else, a machine or whatever, that saved them, they can say, I'm so thankful for that machine. I'm so thankful for those people doing that. And I'm so thankful for God that He did that for me. He used those things. This person, all they could do is say, I'm thankful for that machine, and I'm thankful for the people that made it and used it. And it stops right there. They can't connect it to God. And that's a sad thing. That's an empty thing. So I just really think that our foundation in thankfulness should be grounded in, or our acts of praise and worship should be coming from a heart of thankfulness that's rooted in this foundation of the fact that we belong to God. And, you know, as I said earlier, that doesn't mean that you're always going to be what we would consider joyful, but it's a fact, and it's something you can be thankful for. And then I think once you start viewing it from that point of view, you start seeing that, you know, lots of times people start acting like they don't have anything. I don't have hardly anything. Well, when you get your viewing rearranged, all of a sudden you realize you have an awful lot to be thankful for, tremendous amount, especially if you get down to thanking God for the air. Can you imagine if you started thanking God for the sun, for the air, for your food, cup of water? I mean, obviously you've got endless things to be thankful for. It doesn't mean life's easy and that these other things aren't a burden. But, and then also in there is this stack over here, no hope. There's no solution. Life's fading. Your problems are getting worse, and there's no solution. There's no hope. But here, yeah, life here on earth can be a struggle. Be thankful, but there's a struggle all the time, usually some way, shape, or form. And yet there's always this hope. And that hope is because of the goodness of God. If God wasn't good, I don't, you know, unless you just imagine some imaginary hope, there's no logical reason to have hope, especially if you look at how everything is degenerating, including the sun. Ultimately, basically, people that don't believe in God just have this faint hope of something that they have no idea. But we can have this solid hope in this plan. As we look back in history, we see God working. We see His handiwork in creation. We see His hand moving through people throughout history. And it's actually a legitimate, logical hope that we can connect to, that we can know is real. And so there's a hope for the future based on the goodness of God. So that's pretty much all I have. So I was in closing, this Thanksgiving, Christmas, I'd just like to encourage you and also myself. This is something that I'm preaching to myself because I need to be more thankful, more joyful, and I want to be. And so I am preaching it myself this morning. But let's make sure that we build it on a foundation of thankfulness, that solid foundation, and recognizing all these things as gifts from God. And when you view that also, it changes your perspective. You become stewards rather than owners. And you have to use it the way God wants you to use it, and He's out for your good. And also, you can't slip in these little selfish blocks that you think, you know, God doesn't really want me to have this, but I'm going to stick it in here anyways. Just, it's interesting watching children trying to stack these towers, and you see them all of a sudden stick a round one on there, and you're like, nah, that's not going to work. It's going to fall down, and then they start all over. Well, we can do that as adults. It's like, I'm going to slip this thing in here totally on my own, just see what happens. It's not going to work. So let's let God build our lives one block at a time and be thankful, trust Him. And no matter how high your stack of blocks is, just be thankful to God for His goodness and the hope that we have, the future that we do have that is real and that is coming. Yeah, and let's just give Him praise out of a thankful heart. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Father,